We're going to read one verse. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Jude is a very interesting book. I honestly didn't know much about Jude before I started studying it this last week. And I was begging God, I think it was Thursday, I was begging God, God, now I've been asking and seeking and thinking what I need to do for after James, and you haven't given me anything. And Sunday's coming, and this is Thursday, and I don't have anything, dear Lord, please. I don't know. Should I throw a dart at my books and see what hits? I mean, I don't know what to do. And it was intriguing how the Lord just opened my heart up and impressed upon me to study Jude. I was going for 1 John. I was talking to Pastor Dave a week or so ago, and I said, you know, I'm starting a new series. I think we're going to go to 1 John. And the reason I was thinking 1 John is because I keep saying this, 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. And then I started thinking, these things have I written unto you. Well, I haven't talking about those things that I've written unto you, John. And so maybe we should go through 1 John so that you can see the things that were written unto these Christians so that they knew that they had eternal life. The fact of the matter is you can know you have eternal life, and 1 John gives you birthmarks of a believer. And if you're doubting your salvation and if something that you struggle with, go read 1 John. And I was thinking, well, that's what we'll do. We'll go through 1 John. This is Nathan's idea. We'll go through 1 John. We'll go through it, and then people will, when I read that passage of Scripture, which I read often, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, people will know exactly what I'm talking about. And I just had a roadblock. Every time I was trying to pick up and study, it was just like, nope, that's not it. That's not it. That's not it. And then Jude came along. And right off the bat, I started studying it, and I found it very interesting and very intriguing. This evening is just a basic introduction. It will not take long. But this evening, I want to talk about Jude, this very short book of the Bible. As a matter of fact, it's the shortest book in the Bible. It was written approximately between 70 and 90 AD, which makes it the second to last book, not just in the canon of Scripture, but in writing. Revelation being the oldest or the last book written in the Bible, and Jude being the second to last book written in the Bible. It's the last book written before John pens the book of Revelation, and it could be considered the final book written to the church before Revelation takes us beyond the church into the tribulation period and into the millennial reign of Christ. And then, of course, stepping us off into eternity, leaving us with John's final written prayer, even so, come Lord Jesus. That's Revelation. And Jude is basically the last hallway, if you would, right before you get to the exit door for the church. It's the last room you visit before you exit out the building. And so Jude is a very interesting book. And so tonight we're going to set a groundwork for this small but powerful book. Of course, it was written by inspiration. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And so God is the one who wrote this book, but He, as he did 64 times before, used a man to pen the words. He used a human author. The author's name is Jude. The great question tonight is this: who is Jude? That's a fair question. A lot of people consider this. There is really no emphatic, definite answer, but by reason of logic and deductive reasoning and studying this, I've come to the conclusion of who I believe it is. And I have a pretty strong case for who I believe it is. Other authors would say differently. Some authors would agree with me in commentary. Other authors would disagree. I guess it doesn't technically matter, but it is interesting to me to find out who it might be, because it really does help me understand more about the author and the book. So this is not the most important question to answer, of course. And if you were to read several commentaries, you would come up to different answers. But there is one answer that fits better than the others, in my opinion. So let's see if we can get to the basis of who Jude was. That's the question that we're going to answer tonight. Who is Jude? And since we don't know much about the book yet, we're going to find that out. So let me ask the Lord to give me wisdom and instruction and guide me, as I have already, but continue that, and then we'll get into this quickly. Father, I'm again in need of you. I pray that you'll open my mind and my heart, my thoughts. I pray that you'll help me to be clear and precise and lead me in the path that I need to lead, go in as we start this new series on Jude. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. What's in a name? That's my first point. What's in a name? The name Jude in the Greek is this. I'll spell it for you, and then I'll pronounce it. I-O-D-A-S. I-O-D-A-S. That is the Greek name for Jude. I-O-D-A-S. I-O-U-D-A-S. Iodas. Or the I would be J, Judas. Ios. The name Jude in the Greek is Iodas. It is the same name as Judas, which is also Idaus. Judah, J-U-D-A, is also Idaus. And Judah, like the line of the tribe of Judah, or the name of one of Moses' sons, Judah, or excuse me, Abraham's or Isaac's sons, Judah, it would be Judah, J-U-D-A-H, is also Idaus. So Jude, Judah, Judas, or Judah is the same name. So when you see that name several times, like when we think of the word Judas, we automatically go to Judas Iscariot. Judas's name is Judah or Jude. It's very similar in American culture. Maybe, let's take my dad for example. His given name was Robert. Growing up in Parkersburg as a boy to a teenager, he was known as Bobby. You know him as Bob or Pastor Bob. Same guy, same name. Robert, Roberto, Robbie, Rob, Bob, Bobby. Bob Bibidio, I don't know. You can call him whatever you want, but the name is the same. My name, for example, is the same. Nathaniel is my given name, I-E-L, Nathaniel. Growing up, most people called me Nathan. Later on, as I became an assistant pastor in Ohio, I became known as Pastor Nate, and then I moved to Tennessee, and I became as Brother Nate, and then I moved here, and I become Pastor Nate again. All right? So most people now would consider me Nate. I have some people that have befriended in the pastorate positions or evangelistic positions, and they call me Nate. And that's fine. I like it. I have no problem with any of those names. Usually government officials, they'll call me Nathaniel. If I'm standing in the DMV, they'll say, "Is Nathaniel here?" And I don't know who that is. And I raise my hand. The people that I grew up with would probably call me Nathan, and then some of the newer folks that just got to know me would call me Nate. They might call me Nathan as well. It's the same name. So Jude, Judah, Judah, or Judas is the same name. Iodas in the Greek. So what's in a name? The question is Jude an apostle? Now this is called an epistle. The epistle, does any of your Bible say the general epistle of Jude or something like that? So, does that mean he's an apostle? And the answer is no. The answer is no. The word epistle just means letter. That's what the word epistle means. An epistle is not necessarily written. Now, it can mean a letter written by an apostle. But we've already gone over a book just very recently over the last year that was also called the Epistle of James. And guess what James wasn't? He wasn't an apostle. And so the epistle Jude does not have to be written by an apostle. But the question is, was he an apostle? And if he was an apostle, was it Judas Iscariot? Well, I don't think so. I doubt if Judas Iscariot, after his death, rose from the grave and wrote the book of Jude in AD 70. So we know that Judas Iscariot was not the guy to write the book. Was it the apostle Judas? There is another Judas. There's two Judases as apostles. There's also two James. There's James the Great and James the Less. You say, well, that doesn't sound very nice. Well, James the Great would be the older James, and James the Less would be the younger James. James the Great would be also known James the son of Zebedee, the son of thunder. That's John the Beloved's brother, Peter, James, and John. And then there's this other apostle named James the Less. He's farther down on the list. So was this Judas the apostle? The other Judas apostle, other than Judas Iscariot, was a man by the name of Thaddeus. Thaddeus was also Judas, but not Iscariot. And I got to be honest with you, friend, I don't believe that it was either of these men. Several commentators attribute the book being written by Thaddeus. They say that Jude was written by the apostle Thaddeus. It's plausible or possible, but I don't think it's true. One of the apostles was Thaddeus. And we know it wasn't written by Judas Iscariot, but many believers believe that it was an epistle written by an apostle. However, nowhere in Jude, the book, does it say he was an apostle. Nor does it say that his brother, James, was an apostle. Let's read it again. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, and the brother of James. There's no apostle mentioned there. All right. So I believe that this Jude was not Judas Iscariot, nor do I believe it was Judah the apostle. So who was Jude? Well, the first thing that we know about this for sure is that Jude had a brother. It is my opinion that Jude was a man that had a brother named James. And the reason that I believe this is because he says he has a brother named James. It's right there. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, and the brother of James. So it doesn't take too much to figure out that James has a brother named Jude, and Jude has a brother named James. So we do know that Jude had a brother named James. The apostle Thaddeus may or may not have had a brother named James, we don't know, but Jude mentions he has a brother named James, and that this might be significant. So some think of James, the brother of John. However, Thaddeus was not referred to as the son of Zebedee. So this James had a brother named Jude. So if we discern who this James is, it's possible that we can come to the conclusion of who Jude is. So we need to find out who James is. Are you following me yet? Am I confusing you? All right, good. Who was James? James must have been a very important person for Jude to mention. You just don't mention somebody that's not important. You know, hey, it's Jude, the brother of Bill. Who's Bill? We don't know who Bill is. Nobody else knows who Bill. No one really cares. So evidently this James holds some weight, which makes the commentators think, hey, this James, if he holds some weight, he must have been a pretty important person. He must have been an apostle. James had to be important. He must have had some connection to the churches. He must have been well known. And so that's why the commentators believe it was James, one of the apostles. And there were two James, like I said, James the son of Zebedee and James the Less. Now we know of James the Less, and he is found in Mark chapter 15, verse 40. And it's very interesting how Jesus decides to go ahead and tell us James the Less' mother's name. And it was Mary. And it tells us that James had a brother and a sister. James 15:40 says this: he had a brother named Joseph and a sister named Salome. So we know James the Less has a brother and a sister, and neither of their names is Jude or Judas. So we can move James the Less out because James doesn't have a brother named Jude. So let's go to the apostle. The apostle James. The James the Great. James has a brother named John. John the Beloved. James and John, the sons of thunder. Nowhere in Scripture does it tell us that James or John has a brother named Jude. I would assume that if Jude was writing this book, he would say, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, and if he was the son of thunder, he would say, the brother of James and John, the son of thunder. But he doesn't. He just says, James. So it wasn't James the Less and it wasn't James the Greater. And those are the only two apostles named James, and neither had a brother named Jude. So was there another James that is famous in Scripture that wasn't an apostle? And the answer is yes. And we've spent the last year going through the book written after his namesake, and that is the book of James. Did James, the writer of James, have a brother named Jude? That's the question. The answer is yes. It's found in Mark chapter 6, verse 3. Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, and Joseph, and Judah, and Simon? Remember, Judah is also the same name as Jude. So I believe that Jude is the brother of James, the author of the book of James, the half-brother of Jesus, making Jude the half-brother of Jesus. And I believe that Jude was written by Jesus' half-brother, which brings a very important question. Why didn't James mention that? I mean, I probably would have started with, hey, I'm Jude, Jesus' younger brother. But he doesn't. So that's the great question. There's two possible reasons. Number one, Jude is much younger than Jesus. Much younger. Jesus is the oldest by probably, I don't know how many years. We don't have account of Jesus having a brother even when he was 12. We don't have any accounts of Jesus having brothers. Remember, Jesus stayed behind and Mary and Joseph went on, thought that Jesus was with other relatives. There's no mention of the children. It's possible that they had them, but there's no mention of them. There's no mention of Jesus having a child, brother or sister in Egypt either. Remember, Jesus as a baby had to go to Egypt until of a certain age, and then they moved to Nazareth. There's no mention of that. So it's very possible that Mary and Joseph didn't have children until they moved to Nazareth, which was approximately 5 years later. And so James, being the very next in line to Jesus, would have been 5 years younger than Jesus. And then you have another brother named Joseph that comes after James. So let's just assume that they had a baby quickly. Now they 6 years after Jesus. And then comes James. It's very possible that James is at least 7 years younger, if not a lot more younger than Jesus. Now, I don't know if any of you have grown up into a home where the brother was a lot older than the youngest sibling. I happen to be in that family category. I am 9 years older than my brother John. I don't remember growing up much with John, right? I remember him when he was little, and then I went off to college, and then from little to adult, really don't have much except for what we got in phone conversations or when I came in and visited. But Joshua, my brother Josh, and I are only about 2 years apart, and we grew up together. And so there's a little bit of a connection between Joshua and me and a disconnection between John and me for one simple reason: age. Nothing against John, nothing against Josh, it's just age. There's just a big gap. So it's very possible that Jesus was almost a grown man before Jude even becomes a real big figure into the family. And so there could even be a disconnect because of the age difference. But I think more likely the reason that Jude did not mention Jesus being his half-brother was because that he looked at Jesus as a Savior, as the Messiah. Remember, James and Jude and Simon and the sisters the rest of the family, they didn't believe in Jesus. Jesus had his earthly ministry, and his brothers and sisters rejected him. And Jesus says, "No, a prophet is not without honor save in his own country." And his family rejected him and had nothing to do with him. That means James, and that means Jude, and that means Simon. Of course, Mary had everything to do with him. She knew. They didn't understand, but Mary did. And they rejected Jesus. They were without Jesus. And so James and Jude really didn't want to have a lot to do with Jesus until after Jesus was crucified. And then Jesus was resurrected. And somewhere between the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the writings of James and Jude, both of these men got saved. I assume that James got saved first. And I assume that James ended up leading his younger brother Jude to the Lord. This is an assumption. And that is probably why he has a great close connection to James. And that is why James is mentioned as the brother. And he left everybody else to reason the matter out by saying, "Hey, if he's the brother of James, wasn't James the brother, half the brother of Jesus? Jude is the brother of Jesus." But Jude didn't mention that. Instead, Jude said this: "I'm a servant of Jesus Christ." And so, I personally believe that Jude was written by the half-brother of Jesus Christ, which means at least two of Jesus' four brothers came to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We don't have record of the others, but at least two who rejected him for 30 years got saved, which is encouraging to anybody that has loved ones that have rejected you for a long time. There's still a chance that God can move into their heart and change them. And it happened in the life of Jude. My assumption is that James was probably very influential in the salvation of Jude, making them even more close. But he saw Jesus as the Savior, not as a brother. This morning, in my message about the woman or the water into wine, I mentioned that Jesus looked at Mary and said, "Woman, what have I to do with thee?" And what that literally means is, "Ma'am, what does this have to do with you and me? This isn't our wedding. We have nothing to do with providing refreshments. But we understood that the terminology there at the beginning of Christ's ministry, he goes from calling her mother to calling her ma'am, miss, missus. And we saw this morning that there was a pivot in Jesus being under the influence of his mother and her responsibility of rearing him and guiding him through life was done, and now he was the Messiah going to Calvary. And from there on, he never called his mother mother. He called her woman, even at Calvary. That transition. So for 3.5 years, every time Jude and James was around Jesus, they heard Jesus call Mary Mrs., ma'am, not mother, which had to be awkward. And they got the connection after salvation, saying, yes, he was our half-brother, but it was a miracle that he was born, because he was born of a virgin, and he is the Son of God. And really, the relationship between brother and mother no longer existed. It was Messiah. And that's why Jude could sit there and say, I'm not the brother of James or Jesus. I'm the servant of Jesus, and I'm the brother of James. That relationship of brother was not there. It was Savior, because that's who Jesus is. So after all this factual information that I've given you tonight, the challenge for me is how to make it applicable for every day. How can I give you something that you can go home and chew on or let the Holy Spirit use to change? And here goes. The most important thing that could ever happen, of course, is salvation. So if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you need to trust Him today to be your Savior. But as a believer, it's also important to see Jesus in the proper light. Yes, He is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, but He is our Savior. He is to be worshipped, reverenced, and we are to be His servant. Jude, half-brother of James, or half-brother of Jesus, full-brother of James, was a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the question tonight is this: are you a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ? And he's not even your half-brother. I know that we try to, it would be very hard for me to be Josh or John's servant. And everyone that has a brother and sister, you would have a hard time being their servant because of that kinship. But if Jude could get over it, I think that you and I need to realize that we need to be the servants of Jesus Christ. And that's what I want you to take away. We're going to look at other things as this. I mean, like I said, I've preached a whole message on one verse, and there's, I don't know, 25 verses here. But this verse tells us who the author is, that he's a servant of Jesus Christ. And if you'll notice, this book is written to the believers. It's very important that you and I understand that this book of Jude is written to the saved people, to the church, to the sanctified. Right there, as it said, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. He's talking to us. So as we continue this book on for the next several weeks, we know who the author is, and we know who he wrote it to. He didn't write it to the world. He wrote it to the people sitting in pews just like this and standing behind platforms or on platforms just like this. And so that's what we need to take away from this. So it's very important to know who the book is written and written by, and it's written to believers. So as we follow the next several weeks, we'll note who this writer is, and we'll know that he's a man that was used of God. Father, I pray that you'll help us tonight as we conclude our service. that you will help us as we open this book up down the road to gain more knowledge and more truth. I don't know what's in store. I really don't. We just got into this. It's kind of interesting just to find out who the author was. But Father, after all that factual knowledge and logical reasoning, the most important thing is to know if we're servants of yours. Sometimes I think that we want you to be our servant, our genie, our provider. And you are our provider. And you certainly answer our prayers, but we always have a tendency of looking at your hands instead of your eyes and your face. And we're not looking to serve you, we're looking to be served. And so help us to think about, dwell upon, how we can be better servants to you. That we get pride out of the way and flesh out of the way. In Jesus' name. Hey, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, our eyes are closed, our heads bowed, you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior, maybe you're watching by Facebook, I want you to know that you can be saved, that Jesus loves you, He died for you, and that He would want you to be in heaven with Him. So if you'll trust Him today to be your Savior, He'll do that. And if you are saved, can you examine your heart and ask God if you are a servant? Are you someone that is a servant? Could you say that you are a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ? I don't necessarily care who your brother and father and best friend is, although that's okay to know. The most important thing is, are you a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ? And notice that Jude does put it in that order. A servant of the Lord Jesus Christ first, and physical relationship later. Are you a servant? Can't tell you how many times I've heard somebody say, oh, yeah, my dad's a pastor, or my husband's a deacon, or my mother's a Sunday school teacher. Well, that has nothing to do with you. Are you a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ? And only you can answer that. And I pray that you answer it honestly. If God has spoken to your heart in some way, maybe you need to